Like, how do you respond to everyday life when you know you have the victory? Right? When our perspective shifts towards victory, how do you respond to everyday life? Because, church, we walk in victory. Death has no sting. Even the victory over death. Someone considered the biggest issue of life would be death, but not for the believer, not for the church. Absent from the body is to be home with the Lord. So how do you respond in every day when you understand we walk in victory? When you understand by His Spirit He reigns and dwells within me, and in that there's joy and there's peace and there's hope. I've set my mind on things above and not on things of the earth. I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. Christ in me is the hope of glory. So how do we respond to every day when we know I have the victory? There's victory over sin. There's victory over death. There's victory over the grave. There's victory over hell. There's victory over depression. There's victory over anxiety. There's victory, 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 victory. What happens in everyday life? How do we respond? When you know. And you can live in a way what the enemy meant for evil. God, you turned it for good. And every time there's an attack, God, you can turn it for good. For all things work together for good. All things work together for good. So what happens? Even in this moment where you're like, Sean, man, things are just happening, man. And I know we've got a lot of sickness right now. I just would love this COVID thing to go far, far away. I hate the division of this thing. I hate it. I hate the division of this thing. It's just caused such division. It is real. It's caused sickness. It's caused fear. It's continuous. Thought it'd be over by now. But it just keeps getting drilled on a fear factor. We have to be careful because it is real, but people are sick, but it's caused fear and it's caused division. What do you do in a season like this? People are scared to come to church, and we should come to church. Do not forsake the assembly yourselves together. As the day draws near, we're called to encourage and build up one another. And in the craziest day that we have seen, almost now for almost 2 years, a year and a half or whatever. It's crazy. Remember the season of the election last year and how crazy and high emotion and just, it's been a heck of a year. So what happens when you say, God, I know that I already have the victory. And where there's fear, let there be a boldness. And where there's anxiety, let there be peace. Where there's depression, let there be joy. Come on, just bow your heads just for a minute, please. As we're just singing this morning, Psalm 19 says, the heavens. And I just want you to get a picture in your mind of the heavens, whether it be the planets, whatever your favorite planet is, whatever that looks like in the heavens, just the brilliance of the heavens. I personally think Saturn's kind of cool. You've got the ring and it just is like, okay, that's a cool planet. The heavens are telling of your splendor and your majesty. The heavens are telling of your awe and wonder. And the stars are declaring your ability. The stars declare that there's nothing impossible for you. They speak of your ability. They speak of the work of your hands. Nothing is impossible for our God. 11 o'clock, we've got to get this. Please hear me. Please hear me. This is particular to you. This is not the 9 a.m. What happens when we have an understanding that when you see the heavens and you see the planets and you just see that there's just this amazing space, and that just declares His awe and His wonder, His majesty and His glory. And you see the brilliance of the stars. And it speaks of His ability, that there's nothing hard for the Lord. Nothing is impossible for Him. And by His Holy Spirit, He reigns and He dwells within you in all power and all might. And that same power that raised Christ from the dead is that same power within you and I. Church, what are we doing with that? We walking around with our heads down in defeat? And we lift our eyes up to be reminded again this morning that nothing is difficult for Him. No, I have the victory. I have the victory. I need to keep my eyes up. From where does my help come? It comes from the Maker of the heavens and the earth. What happens when we lift our eyes up and be reminded again today, we have the victory. We have the victory because of Jesus Christ. We have the victory because of the work of the cross. And then we know by the declaration of the splendor of the stars that there is nothing too hard for the Lord. And we know by the telling of the heavens of His awe and of His wonder and of His splendor, of His majesty, of His glory. Lord, we honor You in this house today. You are a God of miracles, and You can do all things, and there is nothing difficult for You. God, we pray for the sick that they would be healed. God, whatever this sickness is, Lord, we would love it to be gone. We know it's real. People are being sick. We pray that people are healed. We pray that COVID is gone. That we would be unified again. Lord, that You would work a miracle. Moving us in this 11 o'clock. God, we choose to be here, and we're amazed that You allow us to be here in Your presence. How beautiful. How beautiful. For whoever needs this in this service or online, God, that they would know that we need to lift our eyes up, that we are not called to walk in defeat, but we walk in victory. We are called to pick ourselves up and strengthen ourselves in You. The Lord, we would strengthen ourselves in You. Jesus, thank You. Jesus, thank You. Give us a word today that we might hear from You. In Your precious name. Come on, amen. Oh, amen. I don't fall over. Awesome. How about the worship team today? Thank you, Miss Katie. Love you, girl. So good. Come on. Man, I hope you're having a great weekend. It's going to be just a great night. Pumped for Flourish, pumped for Bonaventure. I'm not a huge basketball guy, but I'm pumped for our area. And Bonaventure, they play tonight in the tournament. That's amazing. Pumped for Steelers, they play tonight. That's exciting. Pumped for the Buffalo Bills. You're going to get trounced by your old player coach there, Mr. Frank Reich. It's going to be amazing. God bless you. But man, I hope that we have, as individuals, a lot to look forward to. And I'm not just saying that the simple things of football and all that. I'm saying in life, we see opportunities all around us. And we know this, that there are moments that when you walk in full surrender to the Lord, and please hear me, I'm going to get into our story in Jesus Freaks, and then we're going to preach, but this is an amazing story of a teenager. This is an amazing story of a pastor who led an underground church in Romania. And the communist soldiers came and they wanted to know the people within his church. Church, what happens when you begin to understand and see for ourselves that when you walk in a surrendered life to Christ, it's going to cost you something. It didn't cost you anything to get saved. Unearned, undeserved, it's a free gift. But in order to be truly born again and saved, the Bible says to confess that he is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and then you shall be saved. And the confess that he is Lord means, that word confess, a deep dive in that word, it means to make an agreement that he is Lord, that he is master, that he is sir, that he is king, and I will bow my knee to my king and answer him as master and sir. That's what that this whole walk of faith means, that Jesus Christ is my mighty king and I'm here to serve him, because it's no longer I who live. We sung it today. It's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. And this life that I now live in no longer in the flesh, but in the faith, because he loves me and gave himself for me. Church, what happens when you're no longer functioning in a place of for you, but you're functioning in a place for him? It's no longer for you, but it's for him. That should be the life of the believer. And what happens when you fix your hope on home? What happens when you live for your leaving? Please hear me. We see a story this morning of a teenager who lived for leaving, who understood what it means that this is not my home. And we get to see it more and more now, I think even more here in America than we've ever seen it, that you as a true born-again believer, that we're now the ones becoming out of place. We're the ones feeling like, are we the only ones that see reality here? Because this is not our home. And you have this teenage boy who knew what it meant to go home. He knew what it meant that I am not a citizen here, that I have a home waiting for me in heaven. And he got that as a teenager. And I want to read this. And if you are 19 and under, just please do me a favor. I just want you to stand to your feet, please. If you're 19 and under, I just want you to stand to your feet. Because I want you to see the reality and the strength of a teenage young man that we all can learn from. And I believe that this is the generation that will stand firm in our faith, that you would stand firm in your faith, that no matter what's taking place, you are the generation that will be salt and light to those who are so desperately in need. But you set your hope on going home. You set your hope and your understanding on the Word of God. We live in a time and an age where we live in Isaiah 5:20 day and age, where there are those who will call wrong good and what we'll call evil good and good evil. What God says is evil is now being called good. And what God says is good is now being called evil. And there is a battle and there is a fight. And you young people you guys are in the fight. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, stand firm on the word. You understand that there's a battle, and I am so proud of you. And I want you to gear up, and I want you to be ready, because you could be the peer pressure and you could show us what's up. And this is a young man who understood what it meant to be going home. Can you please put Hebrews 11 up, please? I want you to see this. Stay standing as I read this. Stay standing as I read this, and we're going to pray in a minute. But Hebrews 11:16, please. Can you put that up, please? Look at this. Have this mind, right? But the truth is that they were longing for a better country, that is, a heavenly one. This is not our home. Jesus said, I've gone to prepare a place for you. I love that, right? For that reason, God is not ashamed of them or to be called their God, even to be surnamed their God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, for he has prepared a city for them. I love this again. But the truth is that they were longing for a better country, that is, a heavenly one. For that reason, God is not ashamed of them or to be called their God, even the surname of God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, for he has prepared a city for them. Please remain standing. I want to read this amazing story, this just Jesus freak book. I'm back into this book, and it's done something to my spirit that we need to be bold and courageous and strong and know that it's going to cost you something as a believer. And it's been happening around the world since Jesus was put on the cross. Jesus, as the first martyr for faith, for all of truth. And then non-Christ Stephen was the first martyr for all of us in faith. But we see this. This is in the 60s in Romania, and this is a pastor who has an underground church, and the communists found that he was the pastor, and they were demanding the names of the people in his church, and this is entitled, "I Can't Bear Your Beatings." This is Pastor Florescu from Romania in the 60s. The communist torturers came toward Pastor Florescu again, this time with red-hot iron pokers. "Who else believes as you do? Give us their names." Florescu would not speak, for they had already cut him again and again with knives and beaten him very badly. But when he refused to cooperate, he was returned to his cell. Starving rats were then driven into his cell through a large pipe. He could not sleep, having to defend himself all night. If he rested for a moment, the rats would attack him. He was forced to stand for 2 weeks, day and night. The communists kept asking him to betray his brethren, but he resisted steadfastly. And in the end, they brought his 14-year-old son and began to whip the boy in front of his father, saying that they would continue to beat his son until he told them what they wanted to know. The poor man became half crazy, and he could bore it no longer, and he said, "Alexander, I must say what they want. I can't bear your beatings anymore." And then the son answered, "Father, don't do me the injustice of having a traitor as a parent. Withstand. If they kill me, I will die with the words Jesus and my fatherland." And the soldiers continued to beat his son and whip his son, shedding his blood all over the cell. And the son died praising God. Could you imagine a 14-year-old son? "I will not have a father as a traitor." A 14-year-old son saying, "Dad, hold on. Don't you dare give a name. Withstand. Hold your ground, Dad. For I know my fatherland." That means I know where my citizenship lies. I know my, a 14-year-old says, "I know my home country." That's amazing. Many of you are near a teenager. I just want you to extend your hands to them, because I believe that this is a generation that can take on the spirit of boldness and being so courageous and being so firm on your word that there is no room to wiggle, that we will be steadfast and we'll be immovable. And please hear me, please hear me. You, young people, this generation will be the example to the adults. Get our stuff together and be bold and be strong. Walking in Christ is going to cost you something. Didn't cost anything to get here. But when you stand firm on the word of God, it's going to cost you something. Blessed, watch it, watch it. Blessed are those, Jesus' words, blessed are those who are insulted and persecuted for my name's sake. Matthew 5, it's beautiful. And this 14-year-old boy says, "Dad, hold. Withstand. I won't have a traitor as a father." He says this as he's getting whipped and beaten to a point of death. Stunning. Come on, let's just pray. Lord, I am amazed by you and I love you. I thank you for the boldness of these young people. God, I pray that these teenagers will be strong and they will be courageous and they will be the difference makers. They will be their peer pressure, not the other way around. God, they will be salt and they will be light and they will be their peer pressure and they will be the difference makers. No wiggle room, God. No wiggle room. That God, they would understand what it is to stand firm in their faith, to stand firm and not be concerned at what people think, but to stand firm in their faith as they honor you and they represent you, as they glorify you. God, they know that it will cost them something, but God, it's worth it. God, it's worth it. God, let them be the example for us as adults, that they would tell us to withstand. They would tell us to stand firm. God, I just ask us as parents, were we in this story? What an amazing story that our teenagers would look at us and say, I will not have a mother or a father as a traitor. Stand firm. Lord, bless our teens, that they would be unshakable, that they would love you with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, that they would be so hungry for truth. God, they would stand firm. In Jesus' name. Come on, amen? Come on, so good. All right. Oh, my goodness. Woo! Part of our young people. An age. Honestly, you're at an age, young people, that you can show us what's up. Let's do that. Come on, Romans 12. Got to preach now. Got to get into this. Come on, we're in this second week. Probably going to be 4 weeks, two more weeks probably. Getting into the spiritual gifts and looking at, excuse me, spiritual gifts and what the Holy Spirit has given us. As we learned last week, we kind of laid a foundation that the Holy Spirit gives gifts to each of us. Every single one who is in Christ, number one, has the Holy Spirit in full. And number two, realizing when you are in Christ, you have the Holy Spirit, and that the Holy Spirit has given you a gift as he wills. Maybe one, maybe two, maybe more, not all, but they are not for you. But we learned this last week, the foundation, they were for the body. And when we see that this spiritual gift isn't for me, but it's for us, this spiritual gift is for the kingdom. And this is kind of what I want for this series. I want this series to be a motivational series that gets you back in the game or gets you in the game first. There's many who've been in the game and you are exercising your gifts and you're using your gifts. And for whatever reason, you put it on the shelf. Well, this is a call to get back in the game. This is a charge to get off the bench. Maybe for the new believer, you're trying to figure out what is your spiritual gift. And you're trying to figure out, okay, God, if you've given me a spiritual gift, how do I use it? What is it? What are the spiritual gifts? Let me know what the spiritual gifts are. We're going to go over six of them today. They're called the motivational gifts. And then we'll cover some more in the next 2 weeks. We're just sticking with Romans 12. Next week, we'll get in 1 Corinthians 12. But when you see that these gifts are for the edification of the body, these are to build up the body. This is for kingdom work. What are we doing for the kingdom? And church, listen, I love BC. We come in and amazing, amazing worship, amazing skilled worship, amazing presence of God. We love to celebrate God. We come in and worship him. And we come in and we sit down and we open our Bibles. We get on our phones or whatever that looks like. And we're kind of downloading. God, speak to me. God, speak to me. I'll respond. God, speak to me. I want to hear from you. But there's also, that is the service, the regular service here at BC. But then there's the mindset of, okay, I just can't come and receive. I actually have to get in the game. I actually have to be involved in the church and building his kingdom. And that's not just on Sundays, right? So this is not a spiritual gift used for Sunday. It's to build the body of Christ. And I want to get into this in Romans 12, but I want you to know what is some of the big picture? Part of my big picture here for this series is to realize the unity of the church. Every single person, equal value, equal worth, get it? Different roles. Not one is better than the next. Equal value, equal worth, but different roles. That's a great way to define all of these spiritual gifts that we're going to talk about through this series. Every one of us, equal value, equal worth, all created in the image of God. All have come to the cross on the same terms, his terms. Equal value, equal worth. In the church, different roles. The Holy Spirit gives gifts as he sees fit, as he wills, as he desires. For what? The building up of the body. And that brings a unity. Watch this. That brings a unity to the church. There's power in unity. What happens when all of us begin to work and exercise in our spiritual gift? and we start being kingdom-minded. We start working towards the kingdom and start working for the kingdom and the building of the kingdom and building of the body. And we get unified together. As we talked about last week, if everybody was an ear, how would they see? Like, we need eyes and we need ears and we need mouths and we need hands and we need feet. If everybody was a foot, what, we couldn't get anything done with the hands. Like, this is how Paul writes this in 1 Corinthians 12. All of us are important and valuable, but each of us have a different gift. There might be, again, we're talking about gifts within the church, gifts within the Holy Spirit. Not everybody has all the gifts, but many of us might have a serving gift. Like today, we're going to look at what it is to serve, what it is to teach, what it is to exhort, which means to encourage, what it means to be a giver, what it means to be a leader, what it means to have mercy. And there might be many of us that have many of those gifts in the sense of, like, not everybody, it's impossible, there's six gifts, it's impossible for everybody to have a different gift. But everybody has a gift. And it unifies the body. Look at what Psalms 133 says about unity, because this is, we have to be unified. Church, there's a lot of work to do. Here at Believer's Chapel, I believe we're in like the second inning. We got a lot of work to do. Unless Jesus returns, we're in the beginning of this ministry. We've got a lot of work to do in this region. We've got a lot of work to do in this region. Look at Psalm 133, verse 1. Behold, how good and pleasant it is. I love this. How good and pleasant it is. For what? For the brothers to dwell together in unity. How good, it's good and it's pleasant. There's something, watch this now, there's something beautiful about a church, brothers and sisters, working together in unity. It's something that is, what's it say, good and pleasant. It's beautiful when there's unity within the body, when there's unity among the brothers. Unity among the brothers and sisters, the family. Believer's Chapel is a family because we're brothers and sisters in Christ. And what happens when we are unified? When the church, please hear me, when the church has great unity, the church becomes unstoppable. We need unity here in this church, and we have unity. We've got an amazing church, and we have great unity, and we are going to grow in that unity as we learn and exercise our spiritual gifts. And there will be this unstoppable, unshakable quality to this work that is so necessary in this region. Come on, let's pick it up. Romans 12. Let's pick it up right in verse 1. Because you got to remember, there's this humility that takes place in the believer's life. And when spiritual gifts are exercised properly, it has to be led with humility. The whole spiritual life is the life of surrender. Again, I've said it time and time again. My opinion doesn't matter, and your opinion doesn't matter. The world's opinion doesn't matter. There's only two teams, church. There's Team Jesus, and there's Team Satan. That's it. I want all of us to be on Team Jesus. And in that, when you're on Team Jesus, the only opinion that matters is his. My opinion doesn't matter, and your opinion doesn't matter. It's Jesus' opinion that matters. And there is that life of surrender that matters here for the believer. It's that life of surrender that matters to exercising our spiritual gift. Look at this. Got to keep this in context. Got to keep this to the text. So Romans 12 says this, verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, that's surrender, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Do not be conformed to this world. Team Jesus gets conformed to the word. Team Satan gets conformed to the world. Listen, he is the prince of power of the air. He's the father of this world, the current situations of this world. That's Satan's work. You've got to know the difference. Team Jesus gets conformed to the word. Team Satan gets conformed to the world. It's an easy identifier on who's on Team Jesus. If you're conforming to the way of the world, you're not on Team Jesus. We've got to have a clear understanding of that. If we're talking about spiritual gifts are giving to the believers. You need to come to know Christ as Lord and Savior to be a believer, to exercise work within the body. Come on, watch this. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is the will of God, which is good, acceptable, and perfect. Verse 3 is huge. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think. There can be no arrogance in church. Arrogance stinks. When you think too highly of yourself, you stink. Whoop, there's some lights. That was a quick hit. Bang. Let there be light. Now you can read. That's amazing. Thank you, Booth. So what happens when you have to remove thinking too highly of yourself? What happens when you remove self? Arrogance destroys spiritual gifts. Watch this. But to think so as to have sound judgment is God has allowed each a measure of faith. And we got to look at this because when you start breaking down these spiritual gifts here in Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12, you'll see that faith is one of those spiritual gifts. We'll talk about that next week. But all of us are called to have faith. So when you begin to identify spiritual gifts, like we're going to talk about serving, but every single believer is called to serve, right? Every single believer has a measure of faith, but yet there's a spiritual gift of faith. Every single believer is called to serve, but yet there's a spiritual gift that kind of tops, like it's kind of the cream to the top that identifies what it is to truly be a spiritual gift of serving, but yet we are all called to serve. We've got to identify that because it's not, I don't have the spiritual gift of serving, so I don't have to serve. No, that's not the case. All of us are called to serve. Spiritual gift of encouragement. All of us are called to encourage. But those who have that spiritual gift of encouragement, that gift rises to the top and it's easy identifiable. So just so you know, when you're going through this, when it speaks of that gift of faith, we'll talk about next week, all of us have to have faith in order even to be saved. You have to have a measure of faith. All of us are called to have faith, but there are those who have that gift of faith that when you're going through it, you want them praying over you. You want them to have that spirit of that faith, that spiritual gift of faith. We'll talk on again next week. But I just have to identify that because there's certain gifts that we all are called to have in part, but then there's those who have that Holy Spirit spiritual gift that kind of raises to the top. And we got to make this as simple as possible. And now these are the easy ones. These are motivational gifts. The confusion and unfortunately the division comes when we start talking about the spiritual gifts of prophecy and tongues. And we'll talk about that next week or the week after. And there should never be any division on that, and we'll clarify that. Watch this, come on. Verse 4 is huge. We talked about a little about this last week. For just as we have many members in one body, this is about our unity, this is about building the kingdom, this is about the work that we are called to do, this is about you getting in the game. That's what this is about. About you getting in the game. Get off the bench and get in the game. Use the gift that God has given you and get in the game. For just as we have many members, verse 4, in one body, all the members do not have the same function, right? I love this, many members. Believers Chapel has many members to this church, but yet we are all one body and the many members don't have the same function. So we who are many, yet one body in Christ, individually members of one another. Simply stated, there's a lot of us, but all of us are one in Christ, but yet all of us have different gifts. And again, I'm not saying that there's 800 gifts within the church, but all of us don't just have the same gift. Which screams this, please hear this, that every person in the body of Christ is valuable and important and has a role. I love this. I don't have a role. I'm not involved. I got nothing to do. Well, that's just not speaking about Believers Chapel here sitting in these seats. What this will do, I think spiritual gifts do unify the local body. It unifies this church. But when you see the bigger picture, if you are in Christ and you know what it is to be born again, you have this understanding that it is my spiritual gift that gets me in the game, that I have a role and I have a function to play to build the kingdom of God. That's amazing. Somebody can say amen. Amen. There we go. So this just screams, every one of us in Christ are valuable. We're important. We all have a role to play. And the big picture is the body of Christ. That's the big picture. All right, come on, look at this. Watch this. Verse 6, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. I love that. Read it again. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, that's by the Holy Spirit, as he wills, talked about that last week, as he desires, as he wills, the Holy Spirit is the one that gives the gifts. Gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. And that means no envy. If you have a gift and you're like, well, I want that gift, and you guys try to do like the white elephant exchange, you know what I mean? Like, hey, I'm going to exchange my gift for your gift. Ah, that's not what this is talking about, right? You don't get the white elephant exchange when you talk about your spiritual gift. You know who knows you the best? God. You know who says, I have created you, I know you, and this is the gift that I give you, and it's not for you, but it's for my body and to build my kingdom. He gives. He dishes them out as he wills. Watch this. And our responsibility is to exercise them. That means get in the game. To exercise what? The gifts accordingly. And then gift one here is if prophecy, like we're not going to talk about prophecy today. I want to stick with the other six. Prophecy is a big player. Prophecy has a whole chapter to it. Not a whole chapter, but 1 Corinthians 14 talks about tongues and prophecy and interpretation of tongues. We're going to kind of spend our time on that because for whatever reason, that's the one that kind of everybody wants to talk about. That's the one. When are we going to talk about spiritual tongues? When are we going to talk about languages? When are we going to talk about... And that's the one, unfortunately, we have to spend the most time on. I'm not a fan of that, but it's the one that brings the most confusion and the most division. And we're not going to have that here, division. As I said last week, I do believe in a spiritual language, but I believe it in balance, and I believe it in context, and I believe it in the Bible, and I believe it in truth. And we'll hammer that out next week or the week after. So let's stick with the next six. Here you have the gift of service. And I love this because we are all called to serve. But there are those, and here at Believers Chapel, man, we are so blessed here in this church by such a dynamic core of volunteers. On a Sunday, this church is run by volunteers. The big picture is a church our size. People can't believe that we have a church our size and we function with 2 full-time guys on staff and 8 part-time people. They're like, are you guys crazy? You guys are so low on staff considered the number of people in church. And I'm like, or you're way overstaffed and you don't tap into the service gift of your church. We have an unbelievable staff. Matt and I are the full-time guys, and we have an amazing part-time who works so hard for this church. But yet we are run by a deep core of volunteers. What is it that we're all called to serve one another, but then there are those who just rise to the top? See, when you have that service gift, there is a sacrifice. You sacrifice time. We have people with a service gift. They are truly a Holy Spirit gift of service, and they're here volunteering a couple times a week. That means they're not at home. That means they're not doing their part-time job making money. They're here volunteering their time because they're called to serve. That's their gift. We have an amazing core at Breakaway. Most of our leaders and servants at Breakaway are on the volunteer team. And they serve every single week, volunteer. Why? Because they love to serve. They love to serve. Well, you can see that spiritual gift begin to rise to the top. So if you have a spiritual gift of serving, you love to serve and you're willing to sacrifice time for it. And God will bless. This church has a deep core, from our Kingdom Kids volunteers to our booth volunteers to our breakaway volunteers to our floor. We can name every ministry in this church, most of them run by volunteers. That's deep. That's tapping in to that spiritual gift of serving for what? For the body. Amazing. Amazing how that works. Watch this. Verse 7, if service in his serving, or he who teaches in his teaching. What is the spiritual gift of teaching? You've understood, and listen, please hear me. It's not like there's spiritual gifts and then there's talent. Sometimes you're talented, and sometimes, yes, it is your spiritual gift. But there is a spiritual gift of teaching that allows someone to teach, and then it's very clear to the hearer. They have a gift of teaching that is just, they make it so you can just simply understand it. And, you know, many of us in high school and college or wherever, whatever that education is for you, like, you knew that there were particular teachers that you loved because when you went in, man, you could understand it. There was that they would teach it at a level where you're like, ah, I get this. Amazing. And then there are other teachers, you're just like, I think I could teach you. Like, I don't understand anything that you're trying to teach me. I don't get it. And it's not that you don't get it. What happens when nobody in the class gets it? I'm not picking on teachers. I'm just saying you can identify those who truly have a gift to teach. That's what I'm saying. And I had great teachers, and I was juiced for a C+. I was like, I passed. Amazing. A B was a pizza party. Let's go. And I was surrounded by genius. My brother's ridiculous. Todd would get a 98, and he'd be mad. I'm like, shut up. You got a 98, you're mad. You didn't get 100, Mr. Summa Cum Laude. Like, whatever. I don't even know what that means, but that's what he was. I'm Summa Cum Laude. I'm pass. That's true. I got a B. I'm like, pizza party for Sean. Todd's like, a B? I can. Anyways. Cheers. Go Pittsburgh. Amen. But when you have that spiritual gift of teaching, you affect someone's mind so that there's a very clear understanding. And then I love what it says here. Watch this. The third one is this. We got to cruise. The third one is this. Verse 8, it says this. Or he who exhorts in his exhortation. And the word exhort here, it means one who has the gift to encourage. See, when you teach, you affect the mind, but the gift of the encourager is the one who builds the spirit. We are all called to encourage one another, but there is a spiritual gift that rises to the top. That these are the people that have that gift here in the body, that if you're going through something or you're headed and, you know, you're on the river and the Niagara Falls is ahead and you're like, oh, life is crashing. What's going on? You want to be around people with the spiritual gift of encouragement, because when they speak, it does something to your spirit. It brings life to your soul. It builds you. To encourage means to build, bring life to a soul. Teaching speaks to understanding the mind. The spiritual gift of encouragement does something to the spirit. It does something to the soul. And they breathe life to your soul. When you're going through it, get around these people. These people are not the Eeyores of the day. You know who Eeyore is, right? Where he's just, oh no, always raining on my parade. And he's the one with the cloud that's always over him. Like, Eeyore's not the encourager. When you're struggling, don't hang out with the Eeyores, right? The complainers, the negative, they do not have the gift of encouragement. What happens? You're just kind of attracted to these people that build, that will speak. And when they speak, it does something to your spirit. That's the gift of exhortation. But yet, hear me, please. We're all called to encourage. It's not a pass on encouraging somebody. We are the body of Christ. And when one weeps, we all weep. When one person is struggling, we come alongside. When someone's rejoicing, we rejoice. We don't get into competition. Well, something good happened to them. Why'd something good happen to them? Oh, come on. Somebody get something nice, and instead of rejoicing with them, you're like judging them. Why did that happen to me? Why, no. Like, hold on. We're called to weep with those who weep, rejoice with those who rejoice. And this is a part of walking in the fullness of this body here. Watch this. I love this. He who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, which is with generosity, with a freedom. Listen, again, we're all called to give. I praise the Lord for Believer's Chapel. I praise the Lord for your faithfulness to tithes and offerings. I praise the Lord for where we're at financially in this church. We're able to do so much, even through the COVID crazy. Well, yeah, finances have dipped a little bit, but we haven't lost a mark on what we have been able to do in building and preparing the ship. And that was all COVID craziness, was that ship, and just continuously doing a great work. And we're so thankful for your faith. We're all called to give in our tithes and offering. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be. If you're a believer, we're called to give. But then there are those, watch this, there are those who just go above and beyond in their generosity. I grew up in a home with a dad who understands the gift of giving. Sean, you can never outgive God. Sean, you can never outgive God. Sean, you can never outgive God. My father has that gift of giving. He's just a generous man. I don't even know how much of the bookstore he actually gave away. You'd walk in the store, you'd leave for something for free. And this is, watch this, this is in a season when Walmart showed up, and I'm not banging Walmart at all. God bless, I've been there. I'm not a big fan, but I go there when you have to. They have the best flowers, by the way. If you're buying your wife flowers, Walmart actually has good flowers. Tops does too, but I prefer them. Anyways, I'm just saying, buy your wife flowers, gentlemen. Anyways, that was when Walmart came into town, and just everything was so much less, and my dad still was just giving the store away. There's a gift of giving there with a generosity. It's not difficult to be able to give above and beyond. That's the gift of giving, to be able to give above and beyond. Watch this. He who gives, and then he who leads with a diligence. There is a leadership gift that is a Holy Spirit gift. Now listen, please hear me. Position doesn't equal leader. There's a lot of people in the position of leadership that are terrible leaders. I'm not just speaking of Washington. I'm speaking across the board, to be fair to everybody. Just because you hold a position doesn't mean you have a spiritual gift of leadership. Just because you hold a position doesn't mean you're necessarily even a leader. But that gift of leadership, because I can tell you this, every man in this room who is married, you are a leader. You don't need a spiritual gift, honey. I don't need a lead. I don't have that spiritual gift. No, wrong. You're called to lead your family. You're the head of the house. You're called to lead your wife, and you're called to lead your family. You're the leader of the home. Again, we're trying to identify that which we all are called to do. Specifically, the head of the house is called to lead, but yet there's the spiritual gift of leadership. And the word lead here, it literally means there's a rank. There's a position of rank. And I love where it says with a diligence. Again, position doesn't equal leader. There's leaders that are good, and then there's that spiritual gift of leadership within, and this is again, and this is within the body, that there's this rank there, but there has to be, I love it, watch this, with a diligence. This word diligence means to be intense, with an intensity, with a boldness, with a courage. We have a lot of men leading churches today who are cowards. They don't have that gift of leadership with a diligence. They barely stand on the word of God for anything. And again, I'm speaking to the church, not to the world. I'm speaking to the word. I'm speaking to the church. Where is that pastoral leadership gift that is bold and that is courageous, that is so desperately needed in the body today? To stand firm with an intensity, to stand firm with a diligence. Those are that leadership gift that rises to the top. And then the last gift we'll cruise, and then we'll sing. And then I want you to kind of put this thing together as we sing a final song. I want you to put this thing together going, God, if I know that I have a serving gift, why am I not serving? Get in the game. If I know I have a teaching gift, why am I not teaching? If I know I have an encouragement gift, why do I see people struggling and I'm not speaking life to their soul? Get in the game. If I have a giving gift, why am I holding back? If I have a leadership gift, why am I not leading? And I love this. Those who have a spiritual gift of mercy. We're supposed to exercise the spiritual gift of mercy with all cheerfulness. And we have this gentleman named Pastor Elbat, who's our care pastor, who has so much mercy, so much compassion. And I love it because it's very, very Christ-like. Jesus has such mercy and Jesus has such compassion. And the word mercy literally means pity. And I'll be honest with you, this is not my strong suit. I'm more like, get the thumb out of your mouth, quit sucking your thumb, get off the grass, and get in the game. Let's go. That doesn't work so well with certain people. Nice job, walk it off. Like, I'm like, get up, move. And then Pastor Al comes along, he loves the hospital. He's all tender and sweet, people love Pastor Al. Sean's a little aggressive, but Pastor Al, he just comes in, smooths everybody over. He'll go hang out in your house for days. It's just like, Al, you can't sleep there, Pastor. You gotta move on, bro. But he has that gift of mercy, and he does it with cheer. He loves it. He loves going to the hospital. He loves being by someone's bedside. He loves going into the homes. He loves being on the phone. That's his gift, man. He loves it. I'm like, God, get up. Come on, shake it off, move. That's why we all need one another, right? And I promise you, I have a few gifts. I do not have all these gifts. Nobody has all the gifts. Because we're not arrogant and we're not cocky about our gifts. We just serve the Lord and serve the body. And I want today to open our hearts today to say, Lord, where is my gift? And people are like, well, Sean, how do I learn my gift? I'm not a fan of this. I don't do this. Have not done this. You can go online and do a spiritual gift, because people have asked, can we do the spiritual gift test? If you want to, go for it. I don't think it's necessary. I think all you need to do is ask the people in your lives, say, what's my spiritual gift? And they'll tell you. You should know. But if you're confused, ask the people around you, and they'll tell you. You can take the test, go online, that's great. I'd rather not have it on a piece of paper. I'd rather know what it is, and I would rather have people say, yeah, this is. We see this in you, and we see this in you, and this is a gift that you have. We see this in you. But it really is today is to motivate us to get in the game with our motivational gifts, with these service gifts, to get in the game. Come on, if we could just stand to our feet, please. Where are you in this today? Like, what have you heard today? What has resonated within your spirit today? Church, we come to church because we want to worship God. We want to walk in a family. We want to laugh, high-five each other, be a family. But we want to walk out challenged. We do. We want to walk out challenged by the word, by the reading of his word. Say, man, if I've been on the bench, it's time to get in the game. And yes, here in this body, but not just Sundays. I'm not saying that. We don't even have a sign up. This isn't a pitch for you to go volunteer for something. Not even close. We don't even have anything to sign up for. So it's not like I'm equating this going, hey, come on, we need help. We're low on volunteers. No, we're great on volunteers. Things are amazing. This isn't about that. We don't have tables set up to sign up. It's not about that. It's about you knowing your gift. You've put it on a shelf. It's time to take it off the shelf. You've been on the bench. It's time to get in the game to say, God, we need to build your kingdom. It's time for me not to live for me, but to live for you and exercise the gift that you've given me to build the body. Get in the game. Get off the bench. Could you imagine what this region would look like again if we all got in the game? Impact and influence, difference makers for the sake of the kingdom. Come on, as we sing, man, I just want us to say, okay, God, where do I need to really get in the game? What gift do I have and how do I present it to you? Lord, thank you for the day. Thank you for every person that's here today, this morning. God, we love your word. We thank you for your presence. Help us to never make this about us. Help us to never make this about us. Help us to build your kingdom. Help us to build your kingdom as one body. In Jesus' name. Come on, amen.